afternoon, everybody. This is Robin Ayoub from the Localization Fireside Chat, and welcome to another recording, to another episode. And today, Friday, July 10th, and tomorrow, my fake birthday. I will talk about July 11th and the fake birthday tomorrow. That's a long story about that one. But today, we are recording a very interesting episode that's two companies coming together. And, you know, in a world that is obsessed with speed, automation, and the question isn't whether AI is going to replace human interpretation, it's the question that it should it. And we've done an episode on this one earlier that was published on June 22nd. And today I'm joined by two companies who decided to choose not to choose between human and machine, but to fuse them together, to bring them together, to figure out where does it apply? How does it apply? And where is the best place to use it? And without any further ado, I am so happy to have you with me, Scott, Ed, Jerry, and Pablo. As we say on this channel, everybody's got a story. So we're going to do an introduction, and I'm hoping that some of you, all of you, will give us a bit of a story. How did you get into it? And we'll dive into the meat of the podcast in a second. Scott, we'll leave it with, start with you if you don't mind.
That's terrific. Robin, thanks again for having us, and a pleasure to reconnect with my good friends from Lingoled, and obviously Pablo and I, who talk about 100 times a day. So nice to see everybody. By very short background, I am Chief Executive Officer at LSA. I've been with the company going on 7 years now. But the background story is in a prior part of my life, I was a corporate and business lawyer in a very, very large international law firm, of which LSA was one of my more prized clients. And so when the company at that point was talking about leadership succession and the family is now, you know, turned it over to professional management, we got into conversation. And so I had at least a 15-ish year running head start on the industry before I got here. But I think what most CEOs do, strategic vision, things like the Lingoled partnership, I'm very proud of, and just making sure that we, you know, keep the ship moving in the right direction and on time for ownership is at the top of the list. And I'm very, very excited to talk with you about these topics today after we hear from my friends here.
That's great. Robin, good to see you again. I just want to let everybody know, you know, Robin and I go way back. So Robin, I believe, was one of the first people I met in the industry, you know, maybe 15 years ago. And when I was working at another company called Elanix, and we started there, and I've been in the technology part of the industry for quite ever since then. So I've had the good fortune to, you know, be in the technology part of the language industry and the business end with co-founding of Elanix and being an investor early on in there. And then, of course, co-founding Boostlingo, and then being there in the early stages of the Boostlingo process. And then, of course, you know, working with Jerry and some other Boostlingo alumni and co-founding Lingoled. So I've had an excellent, very lucky opportunity here. Looking forward to moving forward and the great partnership with LSA, where we're bringing together these two portions of the industry. We have the technology and the services. So it's going to be great. We're looking forward to a fantastic future.
Thank you,
so,
Ed.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you, Ed. Appreciate it. And good seeing you again. I know you were one of my earlier podcast guests when I started in 2023. That episode is still online, still doing well. Good to see you again. Good. Jerry, if you don't mind.
Hey, everyone. I'm Jerry Song, CEO and the co-founder of Lingoled. Thank you, Robin, for having us. Thank you, Ed, for
your
good introduction. And good to see Scott and Pablo again.
Good to see you again, Jerry.
Yeah, this is a company I've been working with Ed since 2019. So before that, I had three startup exits. So I'm based in San Francisco, Bay Area, Silicon Valley. So this is the company we try to use the technology to dig into a language service industry, to give the professional services another option by using the tech. So that is how we work with Scott and Pablo. It's great to see everybody to work together. So let's keep the ball rolling.
Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. Pablo?
Pablo Tercero, Chief Operating Officer here at LSA. So my career starts as a mechanical engineer, actually. So I'm a different background. I start at ExxonMobil in the oil industry, where I specialize on process improvement. And that's kind of like how I end up moving to this company. 16 years ago, I start in the operations world, trying to automate processes and improve processes. And I've been doing that for the past 16 years at different levels. Today, I work very closely with Scott on thinking strategy so that we can set up our company for future success. So it's beyond automation. We're trying to create infrastructures that are going to enable our people to use technology effectively so that we can be industry leaders.
Absolutely. Nice to meet you all. I really appreciate it. And thanks for joining me. Let's get into it. So my first question is, I'm going to ask Scott, if you don't mind, Scott, walk us through this. Why LSA and Lingolet, and why now, and why together? Now, for the audience, LSA stands for Language Service Associate. Am I correct?
Floor is yours. I think we'll each say it our own way, but come back to the same place, which is that it starts in the shoes or the footsteps of the customer. And being in a position with everything changing as quickly as it is to service what they need, not necessarily what we might sit around saying, I wish they would adopt. And right now we are obviously at a very clear inflection point of how much, not if or when, but how much automation versus old school of language access each of our customers wants to embrace. We could spend hours talking about, you know, their particular risk tolerance, cost cutting, cost improvement, service, whatever their points are. And so we made the decision that we could either try to build this ourselves and, you know, add on to what LSA has been doing well for over 35 years now, or find somebody that's really, really good at it. And so after a lot of due diligence, it actually ends up being a fairly easy choice for us, because not only did Lingolet have the background and, as Ed already said, deep depth in the industry, they were technology leaders already doing the things we knew we would have to do, tested it. And the short answer is it was a perfect partnership. Culture is a very incredibly important thing at LSA. They share that same vision about culture and they're easy to work with and yet cutting edge. So it's a little bit longer answer, but that's the background of how we get to this iteration of the partnership. And it's been lights out ever since. So I hope that gets us kickstarted the right direction.
Absolutely. And Jerry and Ed, if you don't mind, what's your take on this question? And by the way, for the audience, maybe you have missed the news on Slater or somewhere on the social media platforms, LSA and Lingolet have joined forces. They came together and they started this relationship as two companies coming together to service the industry in a variety of capacities. So Ed or Jerry, can you give us your take on the partnership?
I can have a brief answer to that, and then I'll let Ed to give you more detailed information. For me, you know, personally, I do feel like LSA has a very high standard reputation in the industry, and especially Pablo and Scott, and we've been talking about, you know, the partnership for like 2-3 years. During the conversation, we totally see their personality. And that is the DNA part of the company. So they are great people to work with. And they have a very strong customer relationship, sales, revenues, and then professional services. For us, you know, I came from like a technical background. I try to use the technology to give the users more options. We're not competing with the, you know, any other LSPs, service providers. We're helping them to use our software to build a platform to make their job easier. That is my thought, my take. So we'll have an ad to give a more interesting conversation answers. Yeah, go ahead.
Or Jerry, he'll disagree with both of us.
No. Obviously, you know, Jerry, you hit the nail on the head. You know, we've been working with LSA for a long time in discussions about technology and how we can work together, and what we're working on and what you guys were working on as well. So the relationship started a while ago. So it wasn't just something that, you know, was manufactured just to create something for the AI space. You know, we have known each other for a long time, but it just the timing was right where, the technology had caught up with what we were doing. And so the opportunity was there. And so, like Jerry said, you know, we had already developed a relationship with LSA, and we knew who they were, how they worked, their work ethic, what they were looking for. So the partnership was a pretty easy decision to make, as Scott said. So it worked out fantastic. It worked out really, really well. So, you know, in providing all of the AI and the AI functionality for the industry, you know, with having LSA as that, you know, highly reputable service organization supporting you, really speaks volume for us. And it was a partnership that we were, you know, it was a no-brainer for us, and it was just an easy process. So, yeah, it's fantastic, and we were super fortunate. And the chemistry with the company around, across the board is fantastic. So, you know, working together and building a company and helping each other, you know, is super easy for us. So the relationship is great. The technology partnership is great. And, you know, the future looks fantastic for all of us. So we're excited.
You know, funny you mentioned chemistry, right? Chemistry is so underrated, and it should be, you know, more put up front in any relationship, company to company, individuals to individuals, etc. Because if you don't have, and I find it quite often in our industry, if you don't have chemistry, even vendor to customer, you are going to get into some issues. I love, like, the three of you so far, you focused on the chemistry part, which is important to make anything successful nowadays. You know, partnerships can be created, etc. But to figure out how that chemistry work between not just one individual, you're talking about two organizations coming together, makes things a little bit more complex. So you must have seen, Pablo, you must have seen, as a company, as an LSA, you must have seen an opportunity. And so my question to you would be around, you know, from your perspective, what are the short-term wins and the long-term opportunities that you're hoping to achieve with this partnership? From your position as the Chief Operating Officer, you must have, you know, have some vision around where we're going with this short-term and long-term.
No, totally. So a lot of these things were discussions that we had before we decided that this made sense. And we were looking, as Scott said, some of the areas where we knew we needed to build processes, build know-how. And we saw that Lingolid actually already had a lot of the process and maturity of the technology and know-how. And we have a lot of the experience talking to customers and understanding exactly what is it that they need. There is technology out there that it's very flashy, but we are all trying to figure out how to package it into processes and workflows that are useful to our customers. So some of the short wins that you will see in the upcoming weeks are us coming together with what the customer needs in workflows and that Lingolid enabling us to convey that and connect that to the technology, to the large language models. So I'm not going to come here and tell you our secret sauce right now, but you will be seeing that.
Are you sure you don't want to do that?
That's great.
You will start seeing some of our success stories as we implement some customers. We're currently testing some customers with solutions that we have created together.
Absolutely. Hey, Robin, can I jump in with one that we can talk about? We're very proud of it, and it was a true win-win for both companies. Not a secret, it's actually very publicized that we are a supporting partner of two professional soccer teams in the United States, and one of them has a very significant language problem in the locker room because they recruit a lot of international players for whom, quite bluntly, English is not their first language. And the very short version of a long story is ownership of the team came to us and said, look, we have a player, we will keep his name out of it, who is in the training film room nodding his head that he gets what the coach is saying. And we absolutely know he does not. And he said to me flat out, do you have a solution? And I said, yes, we do. And they said, well, it's got to be secret. Like, we don't want an interpreter in there listening to our strategy. We said, doesn't matter. So we immediately got together with Lingolid. We built out a QR code system for them. Players can sit side by side and have dialogue with the coach in all of the languages that are in that locker room. I'm very proud to say that team is on a very, very strong winning streak right now. We'd like to say it's because of LSA and Lingolid. We know better, but there's definitely connection. But anyway, that is a very easy to digest example of where the two companies came together, created a solution that just did not exist in a very complicated and fast-moving office slash player field dynamic. And we talk about that one all the time because people can get their hands around what it is like to sit next to someone hearing a third language. You don't want to interrupt the room, but there it is. And now they are able to converse back and forth just by scanning the code. So we love talking about that story. It's not a trade secret. It's one we're very, very proud of, and it's very public.
Absolutely. And, you know, for the audience, we're talking about AI-driven, artificial intelligence-driven interpretation, okay? So we want to make sure that the audience, I'm assuming the audience is aware of all the social media posts, what we talked about in this before has been taught. The internet has been buzzing about your two companies coming together. So, but I want to make sure I continue flag it throughout our discussion today, just in case somebody was hiding under a rock and did not even know about this. So, so we want to make sure that everybody knows about it. Now, Scott, the way you've answered that question, which you added to it, actually, it's very, very paramount, because I was just going to ask Ed and Jerry, you know, what, and I know I've seen a demo of the technology. Ed was gracious enough to show me a demo with the team. But for the audience and for the listeners, Ed, let's target what problem are we solving and that others aren't solving, and where is this unique from your perspective?
Well, by the way, Robin, great. Thank you very much. And kind of to piggyback off of what Scott had said regarding the soccer, formula for the soccer team and how that worked, you know, we've actually transitioned that into a product and using that in the classroom today. So now we use that with a teacher, with students that can have access to all of these different languages. So we're looking at, you know, the AI coming in and working in those areas where it's not as critical for the message to be 100%, where we can do a lot of the early stages of these things, kind of like walking into a clinic and asking for directions for where they park their car, you know, how do I fill out this form, where you don't actually need a live interpreter, where LSA comes in. But once we get that escalation point, we can come in and with seamlessly added live interpreter who's already involved that can come in and help us. That's where we see the real advantage of having the AI come in. And by the way, AI comes in a lot of different forms. It's not just the interpreting and the language and things. There's a lot of other back-end things that happen in AI in the platform and in the process and other things like that. So that's just like the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. But it's exciting. And the way that the AI is developing, you know, weekly, it just becomes more and more, there are more and more opportunities to use it. Absolutely. Within the organizations and within the process and how we can actually get it out to the market. So
Pablo, can I, you know, capitalize on what Ed just mentioned, and, you know, what's going on in the industry right now? It's all or nothing, right? So you always have that theory where it says, you know, I'm always, you know, I'm going 100% AI or I'm going 100% human, etc. So we're seeing that on the content side where they're pretty much following what you just, Ed just described. For instance, it's called task oriented. So from a tasking perspective, this particular task is fitted for AI and this particular task is not. And so is that like within this solution that you're envisioning there? And how do you do the, I want to say the filtration process, the routing process? Where do we stop certain process from AI perspective and start the human part? Is that like an automatic thing, or you got a human on the side, you know, making sure that these things are taking place?
That's a great question. So the way that we're attacking this problem is that we're kind of creating a workflow of the experience of a customer when they are engaging with our services. So we see it from beginning to end, and then we're dissecting which areas are algorithmic that can be enhanced by using artificial intelligence. And this is not just an AI interpreter. Like Ed mentioned, there is another artificial intelligence powered processes that can make it faster and better. And we're looking at all of the different chunks of that experience and then creating solutions. Now, to answer your routing call, we have an interpreter management system that already handles the availability of all resources in the world. We have thousands of interpreters across the world, and we know who is available at what time and the probability and likelihood that they are going to help us with an interpreting session. So adding an AI interpreter to this model is quite easy because it is just one more data point that you need to contact that you know will always be there because the computer is going to be on 100% of the time if the backup is done properly, which ours are.
That's very
Robin,
good.
Before we move on, I really think this may be at the heart of it, and this is where I think our two companies are looking at this a little differently than what is, quote, market. The notion that it's all or nothing is almost an artificiality, I think, sometimes created by the people selling what they're trying to sell. If you go back to my opening comment about it is the customer's decision that drives this, not ours, each customer nuances what Pablo just said at very different breakpoints between full automation, full human, and that spectrum, if you could picture a visual, it's always going to play in the middle now. And each one is going to have its own unique demands, timing, and ultimately, you know, back end things like billing and things that get them paid. And the ability of the two companies to stand there and say, we'll meet you where you are, not the other way around, we hope proves to be our great differentiator.
Which means, you know, to capitalize on what you just said, Scott, meeting the customer where they are, which means technology has to continue evolving because customer needs will continue evolving. And what we know about customers today may not be the same what we know about them tomorrow. Their need changes. So my Jerry, question to you, I know you're a tech person. You live in the Bay Area. You live and breathe that stuff. Tell me now, after the merger with LSA, what's your vision? Where are you going with Lingolet? And is there any other innovative idea you're contemplating?
Yeah, I totally agree with what Pablo just said, actually. What, not just using AI to deliver the final service, but also using the technology, AI, to monitor the whole workflow, whole process, mm-hmm. and to see how the conversation goes, at which moment we need a human be involved, be part of it. So, when the people are talking about technology and AI, especially like in the Bay Area, so people always feel like, oh, are they going to take away my job? So actually, we are using the AI to help the professional to deliver the better service, to cut off the cost for the final users, final clients. That is all about option. We let the user to make the decision. So we are trying to deliver the service through the technology, through the software platform, but we do need to find the perfect partner to manage the workflow, manage the operation. We do not want to be part of that. You know, that is how LSA, they are really strong, you know, has a very good reputation in the industry. So we can work together. So, and also Pablo, he's a very tech guy. He's very tech savvy. He knows how the things turn out, what the potential could be, you know, if we work with them, deliver the final service. He's a great product manager on the other side, I will say. You know, that is why, you know, that is a great opportunity for both parties to team up together. Let's see how things turn out. I have a great expectation. You know, more to come. I will see. You know, that is.
Yeah, absolutely. Very exciting times.
And I just want to mention to the audience, Scott it dropped off. I think he's having some technical issue with his connection. We will continue on. That's what happened when you're doing live podcast. That's normally happens. That's no big deal. We will.
You didn't miss anything. You just wouldn't like to listen to my side.
That was it. He's like, I've heard this 100 times. I don't want to. I'm going to take a break. Hey, but to piggyback on what Jerry just said, you know, working together with LSA and actually with Pablo and his team, you know, technically they are awesome as well. So the combination of both tech teams together is making for a very, very strong partnership and a great relationship with them. And Robin, to address what you said about the future, you know, the technology is just changing so fast, and the new features that are coming out that are, you know, really enabling us to customize a lot of different things for all of the customers and what their needs are really makes it exciting. And, you know, us being a startup, and being nimble, you know, we can do things quickly and a lot more quickly than like an LSA can, because they're working on these projects that are bigger and they have a lot of momentum going. They ping us and go, this is what, you know, you know, we need this real quick. Can we work on that? Boom, we're there, we're available, and we're that, you know, the nimble little company that can do some things really quickly. Where and that also what makes the relationship, you know, even stronger and even better.
Right.
So
right.
It's awesome. But I hope that answers your question, Rob.
No, it does. Like now that you've been working with this for a few weeks, I guess, and time flies. Any surprises, Scott?
None negative, certainly. I mean, if anything, I was surprised at how nimble the development team that Jerry and Ed have assembled behind the scenes really proved to be. I mean, I think in this industry, everybody's kind of good at sales, but they really actually had the goods to back it up. So I would say that was a pleasant surprise, above and beyond what we had expected. But the truth is, no. I guess the only surprise is how much Ed can eat and never gains a pound whenever we're out on these meetings offsite. But no, other than that, no big surprises.
Yeah.
He keeps his treadmill.
Yeah, I'm on the treadmill right now.
We can tell. That's it.
That's excellent. What industry? I know Scott, you mentioned the sports industry, and Ed or Jerry, you three of you mentioned like the healthcare industry as well. Is there any other industry that you guys are thinking about leaning into or perhaps could be a candidate?
Well, I mean, I'll speak for our existing client platform, as I'm sure you know you may have said in that quick break there. You know, we are predominantly focused, at least in the last couple of years, on healthcare, payer services, financial services, but we have a footprint across literally any segment of the American economy that touches language, which includes hospitality in particular, and a number of in-office jobs with diverse workforces. So any of those places that involve customers that don't engage directly in English as a first language is ripe for growth. And I think that's where you're going to see the AI solutions help us make tremendous headway there, because in many of, as Jerry said earlier, some of those low risk encounters, they may not need the belt and suspenders of a human interpreter, which is, I still think we're biased, but I still think that's the gold standard until the technology truly gets to that level. But not every encounter needs that. And I think we're back to let customers set it up the way they want, in very much the same way that customers every day make a decision in their contact centers. At what point is it a chatbot or an agent? And then when does it port to human? The same parallel is just rippling across the language industry. There's nothing new here. It's just we're one turn delayed. And when we get to that point, we will see new markets emerge that are willing to be receptive to the AI solution.
Mm-hmm. I do have a question regarding the interpreters themselves. I throw it at Pablo first, and then we'll get a take from the rest of you guys. So let's talk a little bit about how the interpreter is viewing this. And I'm just talking about it from, general response of the interpreter communities. You guys deal with them on a day-to-day basis. They must have heard there is a technology coming out there that's going to work with them, or it depends on their views. Sometimes people see the glasses half empty. Sometimes they see the glasses half full. Are you retraining them, reassigning them? Are you upskilling their skills? Are you using like AI as a load balancer? I know Pablo mentioned earlier a little bit, which alluded to AI load balancer, or job augmentation, and in some cases replacement. So, if you don't mind, just general comments on where does the interpreter fit in that picture?
So, to your first question, the interpreter community has a wide range of acceptance to the technology. I think there's a group that is very excited and they want to test with it, and they want to understand like how it's going to enable them to do a job that they will find more interesting. There is, on the other side, people that are probably afraid of it because they either don't understand it, feel like it's going to jeopardize their job. So we're seeing messaging from all those types of individuals. However, our position so far is like we're not looking to replace what we're doing right now with our human interpreters. We're looking at using the technology to improve the service that the patients and the consumers are getting by reducing the time that they wait to get interpretation services, or reducing the amount of times where we are not able to find an interpreter on a timely basis. So for a lot of the events where there's a call at 2 in the middle of the morning, and we're trying to find a Kinyarwanda interpreter and being able to enable that conversation with AI when we would have not been able to do that with a human interpreter. So those are the cases that we are tackling, basically. So while the concept is probably something that they will fear, it is not something that we're replacing what they do today.
Absolutely. Now, anybody wants to add to Pablo's comments, or do you think this is your view as well?
No, I'll add to it. I think embedded in all of this is the suggestion that it's not a one-to-one trade-off. I think the goal here for all of us in the industry is grow the amount of language usage, including, to be blunt, at different price and quality points, so that it's not just the conversation went from a human to a machine. It is that we have that plus new usage across more platforms. And in that situation, as Pablo said, I think you're going to see, you know, an effort to balance and grow the pie, as opposed to we're cutting it up and giving one slice to Jerry that I had to take away from Ed. And I think that's going to be the model for those of us who see it as something beyond an all or nothing or winner take all only scenario.
Yeah,
that's right. That's a great point that Scott makes there. One of the things that we tell interpreters is this is going to enable us to grow. And if we grow, that means that you, interpreter, will get more business from this, because we're going to be more appealing to consumers, which is, means more business to everyone.
Yep. Great point. You know, and the more people use AI at the early stages just to try it, to see how it works or what they can use it for, the demand will be there, and then they will always need a live interpreter eventually. So this is like a lead into using real live, high quality interpreting at an escalated situation. So you're right, Pablo, this is just, and Scott, this is growing the business, not replacing interpreters. This is making more business for them.
And Robin, I know you've got a very sophisticated audience, but let's just state the obvious. Not all languages that we're talking about here are weighted equally, and there's going to be adaptability into AI.
Yeah.
There's certain language trees and root origins that will be much easier to adopt and build into the large language models, especially if we focus on the technology coming out of the United States. And then as that spreads, it will catch up. But it's not that every language starts and runs at the same pace along the issues we're talking about today. And there will be gaps, big gaps, that will take much longer to fill, and others that will be much quicker to fill as we debate human versus automation. So I know that's obvious to most of your listeners, but I think we would not be complete if we don't put that out there, that those gaps are going to have to be addressed by companies like ours as it evolves.
100%. Yeah, you're right. Not all AI created equal. Not all languages in AI created equal. And for the obvious reasons, and some languages we have more data for them as an industry to train. Some languages we don't.
Exactly.
And you know, that shows in the output quality for those models too. So if you're talking about sub-Saharan languages or some minority languages that only a handful of people are speaking it, you're not going to have plenty of data to train.
Exactly.
But you're making a very good point, Scott, Ed, and Pablo, and Jerry, that we're starting something. And we are at the, it feels like there is a big potential forward, but we're starting somewhere, and this is going to continue to improve. Now, when we are starting this is great. I mean, I'm glad to have the opportunity to have you on the channel here and talk about this, because when you talk about interpretation or any services in the healthcare sector, one of the things that comes to people's mind, you know, that whole compliance issue in the regulated environment. And I know Ed and I and Jerry spoken about this before, but for the audience who missed that conversation, I refer you to go back to 2023 and look up that episode with Ed, and that gives you a chance to browse the channel. But I'm not saying, but you can look that up. But how are you doing on, like, you know, things like SOC 2, HIPAA, and all these things? Who wants to take that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought he said Ed or Jerry. My fault. Again, we will start with the basics, which is that everything we do starts with make it comply first, because no customer is going to put any of their patient care at risk over something novel or flashy. It's just not going to happen, and we wouldn't enable that. So we start with that predicate. Confidentiality and keeping the communications proprietary the same way that they would be if it was a human in the conversation a lot of that technology just ports right over. The transcripts in the background is a very interesting issue that I know the lawyers are paying a lot of attention to, because if it's just human, you really can set up protocols where there are no notes and no possible monitoring or violation of a patient confidentiality. And we all know that embedded way deep in the technology, there is still some, even if it's only instantaneous transcription being created, that the court systems and the regulators are going to have to sift out. We can't solve that for them. But what we can do is be cognizant of making, you know, regulation, like your compliance department at a health system, make sure they're at least aware of these topics, make sure they embrace the risk tolerance there, that they are informed, so they're not, you know, in any way lulled into thinking, oh, it's just the same process and we're safe. So yeah, we pay a great deal of attention to that. It is going, I think, of the many issues that AI will trigger among court cases and new responsive law, that you can add that to the list. That's as far as I can predict, because it's very, very fuzzy. But there are some critical differences in the technology that I will go out on a limb and say the law hasn't caught up with yet.
Ed, anything you'd like to add on this?
Yeah, no, that's a great point that Scott's making, that, you know, a lot of these technologies that require HIPAA, you know, that, you know, fall under a certain category that are services companies. As a technology company, we do know HIPAA compliance, and we are HIPAA compliant, but we are technically not, you know, empowered to be HIPAA compliant. So, but all the SOC 2 and all that other stuff, yeah, we're aware of that, and we're compliant, and we understand that. And like Scott said, in the future, you know, these are things that are going to be tested from here on out. You know, just like at what space and at what time does that compliance level hit? Whether it's, you know, a technology company that's just supplying connectivity, or the actual person who's, doing the interpretation or the transcription, there's going to be that level, and only a court is going to be able to go, okay, you know, this is where that we draw the line. So, but in any event, we all have to be prepared.
And let's just round this out. I mean, in any large institution, the people pushing for things like innovation and even cost saving will routinely run up against the people who are risk averse over things like litigation in the United States. And there may very well be countries around the world where this will progress faster because their receptiveness to litigation is at a different level than the United States. And I think until those boundaries get set and people can start to speak with certainty about what the ground rules are, we all kind of have to just recognize that progress may not be as quick as the technical side likes, because people are going to be risk averse. And maybe there's nothing wrong with that, quite frankly.
Yeah, 100%. And plus, you mentioned a very good point. Because you're a global company, you're offering this service, I'm assuming, across the globe. So when you offer across the globe, you're opening up a whole bunch of opportunities that in some geographical area may not exist, in some other geographical area, as I'm just trying to interpret what you just said, Scott, to our audience. The point here is that opportunity is there, depends on the geographical area that you're located in, and depends on where you are. So for that point, you decided perhaps instead of building, I'm going to joint venture with Lingolet and do this together. I guess, you know, here we still have a few minutes before we terminate the conversation. I'd like to get into the conversation around what's next? What is, you know, I know you touched a little bit on this one, but you must have some sort of a roadmap down the road. I know you mentioned earlier for the audience that we're going to add more languages. Some language is going to get improved. But from a functionality and usability of the technology, is there a roadmap ahead of you for this?
Yes.
Ed, you want to take this one on, Pablo?
Well, we do have a technology roadmap at LSA, and it actually goes to 2030, all of the different features and solutions that we want to add to our workflow. We are currently working with Jerry.
Pablo, you have the right audience. The CEO is here.
Yeah.
Well, I joke with Pablo. That was the difference between the chief operating officer and the chief executive officer. I would think that roadmap should be completed by the end of 2025. And Pablo's job is to be realistic about we have work for everybody through 2030. But let us keep our laundry a little more private.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome.
So So we're currently working with Ed, Jerry, and team to see where are the synergies on what we're trying to build and things that they are also going to build on their end, and trying to come up with like, well, these are some things that we can actually entrust Lingoled to build for us so that we can go to market with some other solutions faster.
Absolutely. Ed, on the tech side, on your side, what's the roadmap? I'm sure as you develop and evolve the technology, LSA is going to take advantage of what you're developing?
Yeah. So real quick, I'm going to, and then I'm going to let Jerry finish up. So for us, it's paramount to make sure that we're myopically focused on what we are working on today and the technologies that we have, and have we can get the most out of them and make them as good as possible and to introduce them and to make sure that they are working perfectly with our customer base. There are so many new things coming out all the time that we can't be distracted with what's a new LLM, a new SLM, a new feature. You know, we've got to maintain our focus on making sure that we're building the best product that we can to service our customers and to make sure that our customers are using it properly. So that's one of the main things that we're working on as a company, is to make sure that we don't get distracted by the shiny new object that comes out once a week, and that we just build the best product that we can. And so that, Robin, so that's our roadmap is that. But I want to let Jerry kind of finish up on that, because that's his, you know, I don't want to steal the thunder.
Go ahead, Jerry.
So as a technical person, actually, the most popular term I like to use is we can build everything, anything. But that is a not good strategy for the company to grow healthy, right? That is why we need to work with LSA, work with Pablo. It has a very strong roadmap, you know, very clear features, you know, what we can deliver. It's more about sellable, marketable, and being adapted by the market, by the interpreters. That is why we're working very closely with them to make sure technology follow the right direction, doesn't go wrong. So as long as we keep going, focus on deliver the final product sellable to the market, I believe by the end of the next year, you will see the different picture of both
parties. Yeah, and Robin, I think
as everybody mentioned on the call here, is that extreme cooperation between the group here is very beneficial, because I'm assuming Jerry is taking input from the market and implementing it into the technology. That it gives you a lot of, it's almost like a living lab. Instead of taking a product and testing it in the laboratory, you're testing in a live environment and you're seeing what the market feedback is, and you're just continuously evolving.
Yeah, I think there's one other piece to this, which I know none of us have mentioned, and that is always thinking about advocating for and pushing to market the value proposition, because lurking in the background, we're not just competing against our competitors. We're competing against a part of the consuming population that thinks the starting point is free because it came on some other device, right? It came in one of my software programs. It came off of something you put on your phone, and I will leave name brands out of it. And if the starting point is always, well, I can do this for free, and why should I even, you know, pay for a Lingoled product, let alone the ability to escalate to a human that LSA might get to, and that line between business to consumer and B2B begins to really gray out in a hurry. We are constantly educating about why free isn't really the right answer. And, you know, you can save money and run an organization, that's business, but don't drop to zero because of a long list of reasons, not the least of which is staying current and quality and those things that we had 9 more hours with you, we could fill up. But to forget about selling the value proposition of what companies like ours and our other competitors do is candidly a misstep, because if we allow the market to see to free is good enough, then none of us are having podcasts because they aren't going to want to talk about this topic, and that becomes the lowest common denominator. And that's not good for anybody, end user or people in the business trying to make a living doing it. So I never lose sight of that when we're talking to, you know, business to consumer or re-upping with existing customers on what is the value proposition.
Absolutely. Ed and Jerry, anything to add, Pablo, onto that point?
Go ahead, Jerry.
Jerry,
nope.
You want to do it?
Very good. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, you want me to move on? Okay, I'll move on. Next. I love that.
What I can say to this is, like, we're constantly monitoring the technology. And like Ed said, like, we're not just chasing any new thing. But we want to know that there is a balance between the new tech that is moving lightning speed on a weekly basis, there's release, our customer base that is not necessarily moving very rapidly, but is keeping an eye on the news and the marketing and the buzz, and our capabilities internally here to being able to connect that technology to the client needs. So we are trying to create a healthy balance there where we find technologies that are going to help solve a problem to the customer. Like, I know you saw this flashy product, but this is the one that is going to help you solve the workflow problem that we are seeing today.
Absolutely. And, I'm referencing here a podcast that I just published on June 22nd with Veronica Hilek. You know, Scott, you bring up a very good point. Not because you plugged in an API or an app into your technology, you solved the problem. But that seems to be the sentiment across, most tech companies nowadays. And Veronica stated that there's 52% of installed are being uninstalled. So 50% are uninstalled.
I hadn't heard that. That's great.
Because of bad localization.
Yes.
Goes to show, like, on the written side or on the verbal side, which you guys businesses in, there are certain degree of expected functionality and quality that it is, it's still required. So before we wrap it up, I'm going to throw a question. We'll start with Pablo, we'll go to Jerry, Ed, and then Scott, if you don't mind. For our audience who are listening to this, Pablo, we'll start with you. What are the key takeaways that you like the audience to take away from this conversation?
I would say that we're heavily working on making it very, very efficient to access linguistic solutions. And we're going to work on future call flows that will be fair to everyone involved. We're looking for win-win scenarios in this relationship. We're not looking to create losers. We're looking to enlarge the pie so that we all win.
Absolutely. Jerry, on your side?
Yeah, win-win situation. I like to hear that. Great. Yeah, as a tech company, as I said, we build up a lot of features or building blocks, but we need to combine them together as a product to architect the product by the industry leader. That is why, I think I do believe through this partnership, so we will have a lot of things coming out to make the industry more people feel comfortable in using the technology than feeling like a scared of, oh, am I going to be replaced? That is not the answer. Yeah.
Ed, the floor is yours.
I'm going to piggyback off what Jerry just said. It's all about, having our technology create operational efficiency and having to be help you build and grow your business and manage your business, rather than trying to, eliminate something or your interpreting section or your translation section. That's not our goal. Our goal is to help build the business, build the industry, make the industry grow so we can, really just have a bigger pie for everyone and eliminate the race to the bottom. Mm-hmm. That's key. And I really appreciate what Scott said, because that's not our goal. Our goal is to build the industry, to build the whole, make the pie bigger, not have a race to the bottom where everybody's trying to get the cheapest to do the worst work. It's escalating, it's getting better, and everybody's getting better through our technology and through, the AI in general. So, that's my takeaway.
Absolutely. Scott?
So, Robin, I think my two takeaways, and there are two. One is customer, appreciate that there's a spectrum between full automation, full human, and there is no right answer. Find your comfort spot along that sliding scale and know that you're not locked in forever. You will be able to move more or less depending on whatever you're confronting in your world. And if that brings comfort to anybody listening, then we've accomplished our goal here, because it is not, in our humble opinion, a take it or leave it. No matter who pushing a product wants you to believe, you must go all in one way or the other. I fundamentally reject that. That's takeaway number one. The other is much simpler, which we hopefully showed throughout the presentation and call today, is that chemistry still remains as old-fashioned and as new-fashioned as you can make it up. Because without chemistry within your organization, within your partnerships, within your customer base, you are just hawking a product that you will be left behind as soon as somebody else comes along with a better mousetrap. But the chemistry that builds for solutions and being nimble about that, that I think that makes for lasting partnerships across businesses and across customers. And that we work so well with these guys because they share that fundamental belief in people at the end of all of this, no matter how much tech is in the room. And I guess that's my second takeaway.
Absolutely. First, I want to thank you for joining me.
Well, thanks for having us.
We appreciate your time. And for the Localization Fireside Chat audience, if you're joining us on video through YouTube or other mediums, I thank you so much for listening in and staying with us throughout this conversation. Very interesting conversation, very timely conversation. And I hope and I wish you all the best to both companies, Lingolet and LSA. I wish this episode that we've recorded together brings some positivity to your business in any way. Get a partnership out of it, get a customer out of it, get a good conversation with somebody out of it. I know most people come on this, and I'm not bragging, most people come on this podcast, they get something positive out of it. Right, Ed? I think Ed
can test it. Of course, absolutely. We have
so hopefully something positive comes out of it, and I really appreciate your time. For our audience, if you have not joined me yet on YouTube or on any of the podcasting streams, Spotify, Apple, etc., please do so. We appreciate the like, the share, the comments. This channel is not funded by anybody. It's not sponsored by anybody. It is an army of one, as you can see. And I do the edits on the weekend. So it's crazy passion for the industry that drives it. And it's generally me, the crazy one. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for the audience. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Robin. Thanks for having us.
Scott, Ed, Jerry, Pablo, appreciate you joining me today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin. Great to see you. And thank you for having us. It's fantastic.